Good morning and welcome, my friends. It's another day in paradise. Let's take advantage of that. Hey, it's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 808, your time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers. Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Coming off big win, Gators win big. FSU, not so fortunate. Also, price of oil edging up a little bit as things in the Strait of Hormuz. We say, it's all good. Iran says, no, it's not. So we'll have to deal with that. But right now, I want to bring in the Gilchrist County Sheriff, you know, America's Sheriff, Bobby Schultz. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing fantastic, Bob. Thanks for asking.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to connect with you. I understand you've had a Citizens Academy going on. Tell me why you do something like that, what they learn, and how well it is going now.
Yes, sir. We're on week 5 of 6 weeks of the Citizens Academy. And what we wanted to do, this is the pilot program. We wanted to make sure that we gave information and the spirit of transparency to everyone as it comes to pertains to everything in the sheriff's office. So we've gone over budget process, where we spend our money. We've talked about investigations, certain type of investigations and how we do it, patrol and administration. And tonight, it's every Tuesday for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Tonight we'll be talking about jail operations. It's just a fantastic way of doing some hands-on activities as well. They conduct traffic stops. They do a shoot, don't shoot scenario, and they do a crime scene. So far, everybody's loving it, and it's just going to be arming our citizens with information and letting them know what their sheriff's office does on a day-to-day basis.
Well, it would seem to me that once they have enough understanding of what you're going through, both as a law enforcement officer, but financially what the background is like, how you've got to pay the bills and all that, I would think that really most of these people are actually going to become advocates for the sheriff's office, right?
Absolutely. Right now we have it's about 15 people that are taking the class, and it's taught by other individuals from my agency. So I took a turn, obviously. But yes, it's been very eye-opening when we talk about our budget of how much money goes to each place. And their expectations were they thought money was being spent isn't there. When they find out that over 85% of our budget goes to personnel services, which is your pay, insurance, retirement, they're a little surprised of how much we can do with the money that we have.
Yeah, no, and that's, and people need to know that. And a lot of the people that want to be in these Citizens Academies are kind of usually sort of the leaders, not officially, but like in their communities or maybe in their church or in their subdivision or whatever, you know, they're kind of the spokespeople sometimes, so they can spread the word of, hey, wait a second, don't be dogging the sheriff. You have no idea what it takes to run a place like that. And then they can go into great detail and know exactly what they're talking about. Let's touch on a topic. I know it's your favorite topic in the whole world. Bobby Schultz wants to talk about flock cameras. Just real quick, look, we've covered a lot of bases in this issue in general. I'm gonna do your segment for you. It is a great tool for law enforcement. If your kid's kidnapped, if you've got a murder on the loose or some other really ne'er-do-well, it is an excellent tool for law enforcement. The downside is it could be abused. Now go ahead.
Well, you just about hit all the points. You know, everything that we do, and there's a potential of somebody doing it wrong and not doing it correctly. And that's where leadership comes in. You hold those folks responsible. We've had the license plate readers for close to a year, and I suspended them before all this stuff happened with the governor, only because, well, I only had literally 4 people call me and ask me what they do before I did that. I wanted to make sure that we were doing it the way I thought was proper, listening to and seeing some of the stuff that's online. Through my investigation and looking into it, I would probably say 75 to 90% of stuff just isn't true. So that got me thinking, why would somebody give out some misinformation? Well, some of it is true. Why would they give out misinformation? And I can tell you, I don't take lightly people's opinions and their fear of being a surveillance state. But this technology has been around for 20 years, and we have to ask ourselves, who is really losing when we apply this correctly? And it's been a lot been said about ICE, about federal government, and the license plate readers have been very effective in the deportation of a lot of immigrants. Now, all of a sudden, it's being attacked. Where is this coming from? I know the technology we use isn't constant surveillance. I do understand that people tell me all the time, well, we trust you, but what could it turn into? That could be said about anything that we have, any and everything that we have. And if you don't want to be tracked, while it's a choice, that ship left a long time ago when we gave up some of these things for the sake of convenience versus a sake of safety. I just ask, you know, ours is off. We'll see where the government goes. We'll see where the legislature, if they come up with some tighter rules, which I think that they should. My policies are as tight as they possibly can. We did a audit of our stuff, and there was no sign of any misuse. But my job as a sheriff is, if we see it, we hammer them. They don't have a job anymore if it can be proven. And looking back at all the license plate reader scans that were used in the United States and all of the supposed misuse, they're minimal. Any is too much, but there's always a risk reward. And, well, again, I don't dismiss everyone's concerns. I truly believe in this case, some of the arguments are less than stellar. And if we're gonna try to do our job as sheriffs and law enforcement officers, we have to use all tools available. That has not been ruled unconstitutional. It has been to the court systems. The technology that we're using, not what could be used, but what we're using, and it's legal. But all of a sudden, we need to ask ourselves, where is this information coming from? And I submit that some of it is coming from people who would really like to, for all intents and purposes, defund the police or disarm police, discredit police, and then they're in a position to win. So that's my spiel. I'm ready to move on and continue protecting our citizens in any way possible, with or without license plate readers. Gilchrist County is going to remain one of the safest counties in America. This does help us out in our investigations, but it is what it is.
I think that everybody's going to take a look at this, and they're going to put some very strong guardrails in place, and that is going to make the difference. And I think it'll come back, maybe far limited from what it was at one point, but I think it'll still be a tool that can be used, just more difficult to access because you want to control access. But Sheriff, we always appreciate it. That went by way too fast. We got to get you on again soon so we can cover some of these other important issues.
Yep. Thank you very much, Bob, and thank you for all that you do for us, sincerely.
Always, always my pleasure. Sheriff Bobby Schultz, he is the sheriff of Gilchrist County. We've got a lot more to talk about coming up. Gators coming off a big win, you know, first one in the season, first game. FSU got their hearts broken. We'll talk about that and more. And your top stories coming out of the Middle East. It's all next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:22, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Suey?
Yeah?
Legendary Chicago Bears fullback and Super Bowl champion Matt Suey has passed away at the age of 68. If it's not a household name to you, well, let me make it such. He was the guy, basically, that would do a lot of blocking for Walter Payton. He was the fullback, for lack of a better term, and 10 years all at Chicago. And Bears fans absolutely loved him, and he did it all run, catch, pass protection. And him and Walter Payton were great buddies, and not just on the field. They were the best of friends. Walter Payton became the godfather of Suey's son, Scott. And back in the 80s, man, the Bears were to be reckoned with. Of course, 1985 was the year they won the Super Bowl, and he was literally right in the middle of it. And so he will be missed. And he's passed away at the age of 68. Gary Fensick, who was a safety at the time, he said, I kind of remember Matt as a level-headed guy. You could almost interpret how the offense felt by going through Matt. Just a real valuable teammate and one that, gosh, this one was a real shock to all of us. And everybody has their fond memories who are Bears fans. And if you remember that, 1985, it was just a huge year for the Chicago Bears. And so Matt Suey, fullback, Super Bowl champ, rest in peace as he's passed at the age of 68. Hey, speaking of football, how about them Gators?
Oh, yeah.
That was a big win. First half started out, you know, it looked like they could be a little bit stronger. And we let FAU, you know, put some points on the board. And we tightened up in the second half and looked fantastic. John Sumrall, the coach, he appears to be a really serious competitor. Tough, and he didn't have a lot of good things to say about the Gators, you know, in the first half. And that's how he looks at things, like, you know, here's where we need to improve. And they certainly improved in every single one of those areas in the second half.
Nice.
So, yeah, you got to like that. Poor FSU, and I'm not being facetious here, but, you know, they ran into SMU, and SMU apparently is picked to have a pretty good year. They were ranked 19th coming into Doak Campbell, and FSU lost 27-24. And I guess it was, you know, there were a lot of distractions. Power went out there. They got the lights and stuff back on, ready to play ball, but there were still communication issues with the coaches and all of that. So it just made it for a, you know, a challenging game, really, for both sides. But SMU came out on top, and so, you know, Florida State didn't get the start they wanted, and most teams want to the season. But, you know, they're up against what's going to be considered to be a pretty strong competitor this year. We'll see how that falls
into
place.
We understand the whole tech thing. I mean, we've been sitting here in studio. Power goes out. You're waiting for generators to kick in. Some equipment comes back. Some doesn't. So, you know, that can mess with your head a little bit in a game like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just a distraction and one that you're not used to normally dealing with. But I think FSU, they've got some foundation there. I think that they're going to turn some things around, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We do know in Canada, they're not real happy with Trump, and he's not all that crazy about them, and apparently their retaliatory tariffs have kicked in $20 billion in the U.S., and they take effect today. You're talking about $20 billion. They threat to impose 50% duties on $20 billion worth of goods, and Canada's tariffs range from 15 to 50%. American milk, perfume, video games, consoles, golf clubs, fishing rods, steel, aluminum, jackets, T-shirts, they'll all face 50% tariffs. Cheese, carpets, certain household appliances like stoves, air conditioners, subject to 25% tariffs. Forklifts and industrial molds face 15% tariffs. Initially, some American seafood was slated to face 25% tariffs, but Canada removed those because of some pushback from the lobster industry.
Well, I'm just not going to buy a downfilled parka. That's all. I'm just standing my ground.
Yeah, and I think that would be an extravagant purchase anyway, considering that the average temperature where we live is like 115, or at least it seems so these days.
Oh, there is that. Yeah.
Yep. All right, we've got more top stories, more headlines, what's going on in the Middle East, all of that. We're going to cover that next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. 8:35 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here as well. And yeah, it's a Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks to Waste Pro caring for our community. Gators win over the weekend 66-21. FSU loses to SMU 27-24. Canada retaliates and places tariffs of their own. Oil prices are up. Also, UN Nuclear Agency, basically the International Atomic Energy Agency, Director General Rafael Grossi, said that renewed engagement between Iran and the UN nuclear watchdog is essential in resuming inspections of Iranian nuclear facilities. This was a briefing, and this information came out Monday. Grossi told reporters that access, security, and confidentiality concerns can be addressed through dialogue. But he said at this point, there's no engagement with Iran, adding that it has indicated it will not cooperate until a broader political agreement is reached. But he said, look, quote, we do not subscribe to this logic. And he said Iran's got obligations as a member of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and those don't disappear, whether they're, you know, in war or whatever. So this will be interesting to see. Is Iran all of a sudden going to open their arms to this regulatory agency? No. And if they did, I still don't know that they have a line on all the possible underground and secret capabilities that they've been developing over a period of years.
Yeah, so, there's a little matter of trust.
Yeah, what did I say? Don't trust, and then verify, and in the meantime,
all right,
blow them all up and let God sort them out.
But, I like that.
Yeah. Hey, this is one that's a head-scratcher. So you're this popular Egyptian TV host. Okay, this woman is attractive, Sarah Khalifa. And she's got like 2.5 million followers. I'm no expert in these things, but if you have that many followers, isn't there a chance that you could monetize that and be doing okay? I would think.
Yeah.
Right? But instead, she decided to go in the drug dealing business, allegedly. And if that is the case, well, guess what? Did I say Egyptian?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, in Egypt, they don't take too kindly to drug trafficking at all.
Mm.
So her sentence was, it was a death sentence.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Death by hanging. This was a major drug case. Accused dozens of suspects of forming an organized criminal group to manufacture and traffic synthetic drugs. She's among 12 defendants facing execution for their alleged roles in the operation, including importing materials used to produce narcotics, according to state-backed media, Aram Online. Capital punishment in Egypt is carried out by hanging for civilian convictions. Khalifa is a media personality, beauty clinic owner, and former TV host who has appeared on several Egyptian television channels. Local outlet Masri reported that she previously hosted the Egyptian crime show, Mission Impossible.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How ironic.
She currently has more than 2.5 million followers on Instagram, reportedly was arrested in Cairo in April of 2025 as part of this investigation. So I guess the case actually involves a total of 28 defendants who were charged with forming an organized criminal group, possessing unlicensed firearms and ammunition. 12 were sentenced to death, 9 received life sentences, and 7 were acquitted of all charges.
Wow.
The group allegedly operated like a production and distribution network. Members assigned to different roles. Some were responsible for importing raw materials, while others manufactured and distributed the synthetic drugs. And the group also was accused of storing materials. More than 750 kilos of synthetic narcotics and raw materials were seized during the investigation. The case against Khalifa and other defendants relied on statements from 20 witnesses, along with technical and digital evidence, including messages, photographs, and videos that prosecutors said documented the alleged criminal activity. Authorities also place the defendant's assets and bank accounts under precautionary measures and ordered those already in custody to remain detained. So, yeah, fooling around with drugs and getting in the drug business, not a good idea. Certainly probably one of the worst ideas that you could have in a country like Egypt.
Well, if the assumption is that drugs kill people, if you really want to be strict about going down that road, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they're going to hold you responsible for that.
Right. And look, we've learned in the past that unsuspecting or less suspecting Americans sometimes were taken advantage of, used as mules. And when they got caught anywhere in the Middle East, Turkey was one of them, that conditions were extremely harsh. That was not a good decision on your part. But now, I mean, the word is out. People know that now more. And this woman obviously knows the law in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And yet she took a chance. I guess it's a greed thing. I mean, what else could you make of it that you would want to get involved in something that, you know, could easily, not maybe, very right. easily turn into a death sentence?
But isn't it human nature to think, oh, it's the other people that are stupid and they'll get caught?
Yeah.
I'm too smart for that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a part of it. But, yeah, so like in America, yeah, I'm too smart. I won't get caught. Yeah, you'll get caught. But then what? Oh, it's first offense. It's this. It's that.
Right.
You know, yeah, we'll put you in this, rehab and some other redirection.
Treatment program for you.
Yeah, we'll redirect you, but in Egypt, it's like, no, they make it clear, you're playing with fire, you start messing with that stuff in our country, you're going to go down. And that seems to be the case, which, I is awful. And then the other side of it is, you know, yeah, what you're manufacturing and stuff putting together is that... It didn't say anything in there that I saw about fentanyl, so I'm not sure. But when you're dealing with synthetic stuff, again, they manipulate, they change it a little bit here and there. I don't know what the outcome is in many of those cases until consumers start to take it. And then, oh, yeah, we got to tweak that a little bit because like 10 people died over the weekend.
Right.
Not that they actually pay attention and not that they actually change the formula, because they don't. But it's one of those sad things. And to me, I always wonder, like, what's the motivation? Like, if somebody said, hey, how would you like, a substantial, increase in your income? You know, my first thing would be, I'm not selling any products. And those are the legal ones. But, if somebody says, hey, you can make a lot of money doing this. Yeah, my ears might perk up. But as soon as I find out, especially what the penalty could be? Yeah, no.
Not so much.
No, I'm good. I'd say, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I can get by.
It is, imagine that, though. Death penalty.
Wow.
She's, young woman. And she just threw her life away for that. 2.5 million followers. I don't think you can get, like, a GoFundMe page.
No, not so much.
That's kind of... Raise enough money to where they go, well, you raised enough money, so we're going to let you go. That's the old gallows pole,
Yes.
You got to pay the hangman, and maybe he'll let you go. Sometimes you pay the hangman, and he doesn't let you go.
Nope.
So I don't think I don't know if she's going to get out of this.
I guess their philosophy is you won't do it again.
Yeah.
And really, a public hanging probably has more effect than America's way of 35 years on death row.
Yeah, I never really understood that. I guess there's a macabre kind of thing that some people just, they just want to see what it's like, I guess. But, dating back in our country hundreds of years, they'd have, they'd do that in the public square.
Sure. Yeah.
Guy stole a bunch of horses, penalty for that is you're going to hang.
Mm-hmm.
But people would come out and like, who would want to?
Oh, it's like, they'll take the family to town. It's like, it's a big affair.
So everybody maybe back in that area had just a tad bit of PTSD after seeing that stuff. Hey, in Putnam County, in about 15 minutes, they're going to be meeting to see whether they're going to extend this moratorium on data centers or not. So it's interesting. Columbia County has been dealing with it. Marion County has been dealing with it. We'll keep you up to date with all of that. And we've got more top stories, information. It's all coming your way on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock, and it is a happy trash-talking Tuesday to you. Thanks to Waste Pro, caring for our community. Some of your top stories, Canada, they said, oh, you're going to do the tariff thing? So they're retaliating with tariffs of their own. $20 billion worth of American products now will pay tariffs anywhere from 15 to 20 to even 50%. And that's not going to be a good thing. Hopefully, our two countries can work things out before too long. Oil prices are up. And Iran says that, we're going to take charge of the straits, the Strait of Hormuz specifically. Mm-hmm. And our Navy says, no, that's not going to happen. So far, the U.S. Navy is correct. So although there has been some issues with some traffic moving through there, for the most part, it is still going, from my latest reports that I've seen, pretty well. So we've got that going on. Big Gator win in the swamp Saturday, 66-21 over FAU. FSU, however, not so fortunate. They lost 27-24 against SMU. Now, SMU was ranked in the top 20. They were at number 19. So that's a tough game right out of the box, but it's tough for both teams, obviously. There were some power outages and issues there. There was inability for coaches to communicate. So that made it even more challenging. But apparently, I mean, SMU offered opportunities for FSU, and they just couldn't make things happen. So that's the deal on that. Meanwhile, it seems like Saudi Arabia and the Houthis, well, obviously, they never necessarily got along, but it seems like they're kind of going back and forth a little bit, and it seems to be escalating up just a tad. And the Pakistani prime minister actually weighed in. Sharif don't like it, basically. Wow. Shahbaz Sharif, that's the prime minister of Pakistan. Condemned a missile attack by Houthi rebels against Saudi Arabia on Tuesday. The strikes targeted multiple Saudi oil fields and injured over 70 people, Saudi officials say. Sharif called the attack dastardly. He also called it cowardly. Yeah, dastardly. You don't see that.
No, I don't hear that word every day.
Very often, unless someone's like tied up to the railroad tracks.
Exactly.
You know, that's quite dastardly of you. And, anyway, Pakistan has vowed to support the Saudis in a statement they posted to X. Quote, I condemn in the strongest terms the cowardly attack by Houthis targeting civilian and energy facilities in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, which have left many people injured. Pakistan stands in unwavering solidarity with the custodian of the two holy mosques, His Majesty's King Salman Al Saud, and His Royal Highness the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and the brotherly people of Saudi Arabia. So, yeah, I wondered what Saudi Arabia was going to do when they were being attacked, both directly from Iran and then also via the Houthis. And I was wondering, but they're not going to take that for very long. And
they shouldn't.
And they shouldn't. Yeah. And they haven't. And so how much longer? How much longer can these proxies operate? How are they still getting some kind of funding? Are they operating more on a promise than a paycheck now? All of these things, I don't have the answers to. I'm sure that the intel between the U.S. and Mossad is gathering well, a tremendous amount of intel, really, at every level. One of the things I would pretty much bet they're working on is some form or function or a way to arm the civilians in Iran. Something has got to give in that area. It certainly would shorten what this war would be like if, I think, if you could arm enough of the citizens. I think things could be could change rapidly.
Let's just not include the Kurds. You know how that worked out.
Yeah, it's you can't trust a cheese curd as far as you can throw them. I don't know. And of course, this was based on a story that we were trying to arm the Iranian people through the Kurds, acting as an intermediary, and maybe knowing areas of the border that where they could penetrate and get those weapons into the right hands. And they saw some of those shiny guns and stuff, and
yes, they did.
They were very Greg-like, and they said, well, maybe we need to take these home.
Yes.
And keep them for us.
Yes.
But that wasn't the deal.
No, it wasn't.
So
didn't work out so well.
Yeah, I would imagine, though, we're going to try some other avenue to try to do that. And this story comes up from time to time, and it's a little irritating. But if there's some truth behind it, what are we doing about it? And that is Patriot missiles. Is there really a shortage? And Fox News' Brett Baer reported on the shrinking U.S. weapon stockpile as Patriot missile supplies continue to dwindle this week. You've got Congressman Mike McCaul out of Texas warned that failing to deliver weapons on time weakens military alliances with partners like Taiwan and Ukraine. So I know there's steps that are being made to ramp up some of the production of these things, but it's not like you can throw a switch and immediately you increase production exponentially. It apparently doesn't work that way. So we may have some challenges and some issues moving forward on that particular front. But yeah, in the meantime, we've got one of our chants back. It's Gator Bait.
Oh yeah.
Gator Bait is back at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. This is something, what was it, 95, something like that? Big win over Florida State. It was former Florida player Lawrence Wright who helped to popularize that phrase back in 95. He said, basically said, if you're not a Gator, you're Gator Bait.
Absolutely.
And everybody loved it and just enjoyed the heck out of it. And then somebody said, well, way back when, they actually had illustrations of African-American babies, being these were all drawings, by the way, like political type cartoons almost of those actually being used for Gator Bait. And so everybody got sensitive to it and that was eliminated, but now it's back. Gator Bait. More to come on the Bob Rose Show, 97.3 The Sky.